Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, giving you another woman who's leading the way and someone who is our amazing leading lady. I'm excited to share that our topic today is, I think, something really important for all professional women and business women, and that is how we as women don't ask for help enough. And so our title of our topic today is Asking for Help, and our leading lady is awesome and amazing and has an incredible background that we're going to dig into. But I'm delighted to introduce our leading lady as Paula Spears. She is the CEO of Grassroots HR Consulting. So Paula, say hello to all of our listeners and good morning.
Hello, everyone. This is Michelle. Such a great honor. So I appreciate the opportunity and to talk a little bit about this subject.
I love this subject. You know, I mean, there's so many great books that are out right now, but this is one that I just, you know, for women, not as much for men, interestingly enough. And I don't know why, but women seem to have, and including myself, let's just go with that. I think we're both in the same boat, which is why I know I was excited when we talked about the topic, is that women don't ask for help. So I'm curious for you, you know, I think this is personal to you because it is to me as well. I don't always ask for help. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. So if we were to gauge it, you know, one is never ask for help, and five is always. I'm around a three-ish, and it depends on particularly what it is I'm asking for or who I'm asking, you know, for help. And I really think, you know, for me, it's usually around that feeling, that fear of overstepping a friendship or appearing too needy, but or imposing because everyone's so very busy. But most of all, you know, when we think of individuals like ourselves, very high achieving, very successful, it's that fear of revealing that we're struggling or that we need help, and being able to trust being vulnerable. That, I think, is what keeps us from asking.
Well, it's funny. It's funny with professional women, again, because we're part of an incredible association, if I can say myself, Connected Women of Influence. And we, you know, I hear all the time from women that will privately, right, not publicly, say, I have a real tough time asking for help. It's like, you know, we do. We want to do it all. It's like we don't want to think that, you know, we're being vulnerable, that we can't get it done. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a mindset. But, you know, the other reality is we can't do everything. And in order to do what we need to do and either propel ourselves forward in business or, you know, kind of navigate our career, let's say, you know, being able to ask for help in a positive way is a great thing. And I know you've got a couple of, you know, like steps on how to learn to ask for help. Do you mind, can you kind of share a little bit about that? And I want you, after that, we'll delve into a little bit of your background, Paula. But what are the steps to asking for help or learning to ask for help?
One is, first is that whole awareness. And so I talk to executives and leaders around that awareness that you can't do it all, like you just talked about, and that as humans, we need that help, that collaboration. And, you know, I really liken it to, you know, if you are, you know, a cardiac or a brain surgeon, it wouldn't make sense for you to diagnose and perform surgery on yourself. So you need another individual or a group of individuals that you can go to. The other is, you know, we're the ones that everybody usually comes to. And our success is built around being able to answer the question and solve problems. And so when we have one, it's difficult to go to someone that we work with and say, hey, I've got one too. So awareness is, I think, the first step. Second is, once you've summoned, you know, the courage to ask for help, you need to listen. And again, as overachievers, we as soon as we do ask for help, we do one of two things. One is we go into immediate problem solving, right? So they give us a nugget, yeah, and we have taken that, and you know, we have gone on into problem solving, when the reality is we need to stop and listen, actively listen. The other is, sometimes we don't like what people tell us. And so we discount what they're saying. And that kind of gets back to the whole active listening. It's all about listening to what it is that people want to provide or that they want to help you with, as opposed to, you know, either problem solving or discounting. And finally, the last one is, once you get to the awareness and you have asked for the help, is we spend a lot of money and time as women, you know, with our hair and our nails and, you know, all of the different things, our shoes, our clothes, all of the money and you know, makeup, everything else that we spend. But we tend to discount adding coaching to that, or, you know, having that person that you would meet on a regular basis, and spending not only the time but the money as part of that process. So I'm not saying, you know, of course, it is not my commercial, but it's around the time that you spend on your outward appearance should be the same amount of time, energy, money that you would spend on that inside person.
I like that. I love that. You know, I think, first of all, that's great. I mean, I, you know, there's always a philosophy to it. And I think if we can zone in and go to the part where someone realizes, you know, they need to ask for help, right? And I mean, and you know, our show is about business and industry for women. Like, what, in a scenario, let's say you recognize and you're aware that you need help or assistance, right? And women will try to bugger on and do it themselves. But in a business scenario, let's say you're in a situation where you've identified you need help and you're aware of it. It's like, it's the how you ask for help I find women extremely uncomfortable about. I even find I'm uncomfortable about it. You know, I'm like, oh, can you, you know, I really hate to ask. It's like, I hate to bug you, you know, that kind of thing, which diminishes, you know, our power and our influence. But yet, you know, you want to kind of, like, you're asking somebody for a favor, because if they say no, you know, you're sunk. So what are ways that women, how can women ask for help? What's a, you know, maybe some steps from your expertise that you would share, and how women can, you know, really kind of make it feel comfortable when they go ask for help?
So great question. So thank you. So two things. One is, you're right around that whole negative approach. So it's always a positive approach to say, you know, I need your advice. You know, here, you know, I would like to get whatever it is, if it's 10, 15 minutes of your time, and then be true to that. But I think the bigger piece of this is what you do before you need to ask. And so as you're working with, you know, your different colleagues, your different relationships, and you're helping someone, because we are always giving advice and helping, you need to complete that process with, this was great, thank you. And you know what? There's going to be a time when I'm going to need some help. And so I'd like to say now, I'd like to be able to come to you if there's anything I need help with. What you do in that statement is you set up literally an agreement with the individual that you're working with. If it's an executive, a CEO, or whoever it is, to say, I've helped you, and this has been great, and I've learned in this, and you've learned in this. Now, there's going to be a time when I'm going to need help. And now you've already set up, what, 5, 6, 7 opportunities for you to go back to individuals. So, you know, in your everyday interaction, you're always thinking about in the back of your mind, how, you know, how can I already open that? And then, of course, it's never in the negative. The reality is we all want to, you'd be surprised how many people actually really do want to help you.
That's a good one.
So,
I think,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think what I struggle with is the word help. It's like, I don't know what it is about that word. It's like, because I get the favor, right? Sometimes you can go and you can ask a colleague or a coworker or even a, you know, someone not in your circle in the workplace, but ask for some advice. But I think it's when you are finding that you need help, but you don't want to use the word help. Like, is there a different word that you would recommend? And maybe it's just me. I'm curious. But I have an issue with the word help. Like, I don't want to need help. I want something else. I want support. I want, you know, I love the advice, but is there something else that could work for asking for help? Like, I'm drowning. I don't know. What do you think?
I love that. So I'll give you the very serious answer and then my funny answer. So it depends on if help is not the word, then, you know, I need your advice. And really not get into the, you know, the negative piece. I'm struggling, I'm underwater, but or any of that. But just to say, I'd love to get your advice or your support. I like that one. To be able to say, look, it's not about me dumping everything on you. I got to hold some of it, but sometimes I just need somebody to just kind of lift that other part of the load if you could just support me. And so
I love,
you know,
that word.
It's finding that word that works for you. Now, the other is, and I use this with my best buddy, my best friend is, I'm not a huge Beatles fan, but we use the song Help.
Oh, help, I need somebody. That's a horrible rendition, but I totally know the song. That's pretty good. That makes it a little funner. Yes. Help, I need somebody.
It does make it fun. The other piece of it is, if you actually really listen to the word, you know, John Lennon, makes very little of it, but at the time he was writing the song, he was underwater and he was facing, and it's all of the popularity and not being able to do what they wanted to do creatively. And so if you listen, the words are help, I need somebody, not just anybody. I need someone. And then it goes on, if you listen to the words, when I was young, I thought I could do it all. But now I need some help, and I realize that. And so so for us is to be able to have the song in the background. That's our cue. That.
I love that. But I love, too. I love the word you use, support. Now, see, that I can use. Like, hey, you know, so-and-so, I can, you know, I could really use your support, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that keeps it positive. Help sounds, you know, like, again, you're drowning. And I mean, there are times when that is it, and people do want to help, and you never really, you know, in your head, you're thinking, oh, no one will ever want to help me. They'll think I'm weak. It's all that. So I like the word support. I think that one's much better. But, you know, I mean, Paula, these are great pieces of advice. And you know what? We're going to say to women, get over it. It's like you just got to do it. Tell us a little bit about this briefly, your background, because I know you're in the people trenches. I mean, you deal with people and relationships in the workplace and human resources. What, just share a little, again, briefly about your background.
Oh, sure. So I've been in HR for many years, and I actually started my career as an engineer. So I tell people that I didn't find HR, HR found me. And the one thing that I learned in this business, in particular in HR, we are so positioned well in business today. With all that's going on, because that's what we do. We're the human part of human resources. But I also thought, you know, where my business came in is around this whole grassroots idea, getting back to basics. And so I work with executive leaders and startups and new businesses to provide coaching and counseling, in particular around just basic HR practices and what they need, what's necessary to be successful doing business in California. So I work with them on aligning HR practices and not so much doing the HR piece, which, you know, a lot of executives see as the tick the box exercises, but really looking at what are those basics that you need to have that tie in with your business initiatives and your business strategy. And my goal is to help maintain and keep your dream alive or protect your baby. And so a lot of the time, you know, there's lots of vendors out there, you know, very reputable vendors, in particular with new businesses and startups, where it's just way too much that they would really need. And so I focus with the executives around, or leaders around, here's, you know, there's a lot out here, but this is what you absolutely need to do right now. And as you grow, mm-hmm. And you build your business and focus on your business, I'm here to make sure that, you know, what's happening in the HR world as well as in particular in California, keep you out of trouble and make sure that we protect. And so the one thing though that I find so interesting, and I stuck a pin in it, when you talked about asking for support or asking for help, I do want to let, you know, and particularly women know that people know when you need help. They may not say anything to you, but
right.
Your friends and people that are close to you know. And here's how they know, especially when you're overachievers like ourselves.
I love that
they
word.
They know when you need help because we do different things that are signals. And, you know, so when you say it's like, I know I need to ask for help, I know what those signals are for me when I start doing it. And that's when I know I need to ask for help. Now, the one thing that I do is procrastinate. Now, I'm not talking about regular procrastination. You know, we all struggle, I think, with that because, you know, when you are very successful and an overachiever, you've got like 12 ideas that you could do right now. And so,
right.
But it's a different kind of procrastination. So I'll give you the example for myself. I like to sew and I like to make jewelry and do different things. When I start just buying material, like just I haven't made anything. I just start buying. I know you are procrastinating on something that's very, very important and you need help. And people around me know when I start doing that, I need help. So we do little things, and I think that's that inner, person that's trying to let us know, as well as anybody around us, that we need help. And so
I love that.
You know, figure out what that is for you. And when you start doing it, know, I need to call somebody. I need to reach out because there's something that's bothering me that I need to do and I need to get some help with.
Love it. You know, talk a little bit more about your services. I mean, because I know you came from HR. I love that you're a former, well, not former, you're never a former engineer, but I mean, just left brain, right brain for you, because then you talk about how you do jewelry. It's like you have this really unique, you know, creative and analytical, I mean, which is really unique, I feel, you know, as a female leader. But what's your, tell us a little bit about your services, Paula, and what you do for business.
Oh, sure. So I meet with a particular organization. I'll go into in not too much detail about them, but they want to start their business and they've added a few employees and they just need to make sure that they're protected because these employees are contractors. And so I go in and just set up their basics around, employee files, application, handbooks, just the basics around, in particular in California, to help protect them, especially as they're hiring more employees. The other piece of it is as executives bring on, sometimes they don't really quite know what to pay people. And so working with them as they're starting their business on what is customary, what they should be looking for, and what are the roles that are most important to help them maintain and build their business. So a lot of the work would be very tailored to the business and what it is that they need to do. And a lot of it is really listening from my part on what it is that is a priority. And then I go in and do an assessment, understand their business and their priorities, and then give them a roadmap that they should follow. And, I can give them the basic tools and get them going, working on more of a contingent basis. Or, these small businesses don't really need someone all the time, full-time HR. Some do, but really helping them at that beginning stage of their new business.
Wow. I'm curious. It's like I know you've been in HR a long time and your corporate career, but what made you go out and kind of launch and start your own thing? You know, for so many of us, we have a story as to why we started our business. What was your kind of tipping point or, trigger that said, I'm going to go do this on my own?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I'd say probably about 8 years ago, I had thought of this business, Grassroots HR, and I actually put together my business plan and my website. I got the website. I did all those things. And then, of course, I was in the corporate world and, doing that work and doing lots of travel. And it just kind of fell to the wayside. And beginning of last year, I should say, the company I was working for was acquired, which is a good thing. And I had this free time. And I thought, you know what, I always wanted to do it. It's always that fear around, I'm so used to corporate or all of that interaction. And I thought, you know what, if I don't do this now, I will regret it. And I really believe things happen for a reason. And And so I went for it, got my business license, and I got a few assignments, and I thought, oh, I could do this.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, sometimes I guess when you don't do those things, sometimes you have to be forced into it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big step, isn't it? I mean, so many of us are just caught up in, you know, keeping on with our career. I know for me, I went through 5 mergers and acquisitions in my bank career, and the only thing I ever got used to was change, which is ridiculous, but, you know, no one mm-hmm. ever likes to kind of go through, you know, mergers or acquisitions, unless you're on the, you know, acquiring side, which I never was. But I think for so many women, they just stop and they feel like circumstances dictate, you know, where they are. And I'm curious for you, where did you find the courage to step out on your own and say, look, I can do this and I'm going to, and I know that's probably not every day, because as an entrepreneur and a small business owner, it's like some days we're on it and some days we're like, oh, what have I done? But how did you find the courage? You know, did you talk to somebody? Did you have some great advisors, or did you just say, oh, I'm going to do this for myself? And you took self-action and said, I'm going to do this. Where'd you find the courage, though,
well,
Paula?
I reached out to several people, and what I kept hearing over and over again is it's about time. And I'd always heard that from different colleagues, different individuals that I'd worked with, is you should do what you do now. You're awesome at it. And, you should do this full time. And I loved my interaction with executives and really feeling like I was part of the team, understanding and knowing the business, and then being able to tailor my skills, being able to really coach and counsel and give them that hard feedback, the candid or radical feedback, and just that wherewithal to speak truth to power. And you don't really see that often, in particular in HR, because you're in that support role, and you are paid by HR. So my bread is buttered, so to speak, by HR and not by the business. And I had always enforced or made that part of my agreement when I work with my different client groups. I want to be paid by them. I want my goals to be the same as theirs. And in fact, I want to sit where they sit. The reality was, I was a business person already. I just had HR expertise. And I think that's what made me so successful in that corporate world, is because I felt like I was in that role. And I think that came across, that credibility came across. And so that helped me. But, all my colleagues and, you know, my mentor, my coaches, my friends, and I have several of all of those, and my family, were, okay, it's about time, go for it, we got your back, and we will support you, and what it is that you need to do. And so I got that courage.
I love it. No, I love your story. And you have passion in your voice when you talk about it, by the way. I think that's really, you know, that's telling, right? When we have passion for what we're doing and all of it, you know, and we're almost out of time, Paula. I love, you know, you shared a couple of insights. I know, right? On the help factor. So I want to tell all of our listeners, you know, take some of these steps. It's like, find the courage. It's like, find the words that work for you. I mean, I love how we replaced help with support or advice, or, you know, I just wanted to seek your feedback. And, you know, I mean, it is interesting. All we have to do is ask the question, right? And that's how I look at it. But I love the word support instead of help. So thank you for that. I always ask, and I want to know, it's like I'm going to ask a really big question. So be ready, be prepared, and this is how we're going to wrap up. But, you know, what can you leave me and our listeners with something that will inspire us about asking for help and just continuing on, you know, to be better at this one little piece of how we can be better as professionals? Inspire us,
oh,
Paula.
Wonderful.
Leave me with something motivational. Right. I know, no pressure, right?
Oh, I know, huh? I really would want everyone to begin looking at that whole idea of asking for help as not a weakness, but a strength. People who are powerful, who are charismatic, you can ask any of them. They always ask for help, and they saw that as help or support, I should say, as not a weakness, but a strength. And if you want to be collaborative, there's no way that you can do that unless you are asking your staff, your peers, your leaders for help. So it's a strength, not a weakness.
Like it. I like that. Just different mindset. Wow. You're amazing. I think we need to have you back on the show at a future date, I'm thinking. But, you know, to you as our leading lady today, Paula, thank you for joining us. To our listeners, I want to thank you for being supportive. We've been around since 2012 as a podcast. And my gosh, we're international in scope. So if you're listening, we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific time and Fridays at 2 p.m. And from me and all of our radio show hosts of the network, I encourage all of our listeners to just be supportive of other professional women. And I love the phrase where it's like lift as you climb. So have a great week. It's Monday, and we'll see you on Friday.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.